Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Boy, if the New York Mets ever wanted to earn a spot in the cockles of the Yankee fan heart, they passed up on that opportunity and did it in what would amount to a minor league fashion. The New York Mets showed no interest in playing baseball last night, and it's all good because Yankee fans are going to remember when the New York Mets decided to play some type of single-A baseball in Fenway Park against the Red Sox. All good. We're never going to forget. Good afternoon, Evan. How are you today, kid?
Surprisingly good. Usually when you rip the Mets and take shots at the Mets, I get angry, but today I just smile. Today I just look over at you and smile and say, too bad.
Yeah, well, listen, because you finally come to terms with the fact that you're dead.
Oh, you think?
And you got to watch, you went to a wrestling event last night, so you probably half even paying attention to the Mets. And then when you got home and saw the highlights or actually sat down to watch every inning, you saw the circus that was.
Yes, the Mets.
The New York Mets.
The Mets allowed so my
we're
night
done with them.
To be very, very easy. But they're dead. They're done there, limping to the finish line. It's amazing. They win 2 out of 3 against the mighty New York Yankees, this dramatic Subway Series in which they gave you just a little bit of hope, and they stuck it to the Yankees. And think about what they've done since then.
Yeah.
They've won one game since then. They are 1-7 since the dramatic Subway Series. It's comical.
Yeah, listen, here's what's not comical. Gleyber Torres and Gary Sanchez last night. And it's so funny to me. I don't think I've ever seen New York athlete where it is, and athletes in this case, where it is so hot and cold
in
simultaneously.
In the same day.
Yeah, like these two guys, rightfully so, have been kind of the whipping boys of the New York Yankees this year because they've not performed more often than they have performed, right? And yet, every now and then, they both come up with significant clutch hits. They've done it. Not every day for sure, but they've done it. I don't think I've ever seen two guys, certainly not on the same team, and for sure not at the same time, who are booed and cheered with lust within seconds of each other.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
The Gleyber thing is fascinating because even though it's been quiet, Gleyber's hit since they moved him back to second base. It's worked.
Right.
Let's admit that. And yesterday, he comes up in a monstrous spot and gives you this horrific at-bat that makes you want to rip your hair out. And then, in real time, what, a half hour later, he comes up and becomes the hero.
Yeah.
And a part of that is the beauty of baseball. But a part of that is kind of what you just described, that Gleyber Torres and Gary Sanchez, for Gary it's been years, for Gleyber it's really been this year, has had a love-hate relationship with Yankee fans. But here's the truth about both guys. You need them.
You do, which is why they keep getting trucked out there. Exactly right. Like, people say, why do you bench them? Because the promise of what they have been,
you know what, though?
And what you hope they're going to be for a small sliver in time that's going to propel the Yankees to the postseason, but maybe beyond.
Let's see if we agree on this. What's the biggest thing Gary Sanchez did last night? It was the caught stealing. It was the cannon of an arm. It was only going to take a perfect throw in a tie game to avoid Texas, because you're still nervous at that point.
Sure.
If you're a Yankee fan, you're down in this game, you come back and you tie the game. And let's remember how you tied the game. You tied the game because of a wild pitch, because of miscommunication, it looked that way, between pitcher and catcher. So you still needed that massive hit. And in a tie game, Gary Sanchez, and I feel this quality about him has always been underrated, he's got a hose behind the plate.
Yep.
The reason we don't talk about it is because the running game in baseball sort of disappeared. So how often is there an opportunity to make a big play like that late? The home run's great. Like, that's fantastic.
It's additive.
It was the throw. Because it was only going to be a perfect throw that kept that stolen base from occurring.
Plus, on the heels of the game the other night where he has the two pass balls, right, wild pitches, and all of a sudden we're back down on him. He's a lousy defensive catcher, and he throws a seed last night, which changes the dynamic of the game.
Tremendous play.
What did you think in the moment? What did you think about Torres at the plate? Because John got it wrong last night. And then immediately corrected himself. Is he out? Is he safe? Is he safe? Is he out?
I thought he was out.
Then they go to the replay. They don't know what's going on. Then they're pissed that there was a replay last night. Like, that play's got to be reviewed.
How
can you blame them for reviewing that play?
What?
And by the way, it wasn't that long a replay. They got it pretty quickly. Did they get him on the shoulder? Did the cleat? You know, the whole thing. But he scores, it counts, and it was significant.
It was an incredibly close play. But one thing I've learned is that what they call on the field is usually going to stand.
Yeah.
There was a play a few nights ago, a baseball game no one cares about, where a guy had a home run and it grazed the foul pole. Clearly did, but they called it foul. And even after review, they kept it because I guess it wasn't overwhelming enough. But Gleyber Torres has a chance to be a real huge X factor for this team because he always has been. Let's not forget what we thought about this guy 2 years ago. I mean, this was the future.
Yep. He was going to be the next great New York Yankee Monument Park one day. That's how we thought of him when we got him, right?
Hit last night, especially after coming up small in a big spot, was huge because last night they needed to win that game. The New York Yankees could not lose that game last night to the Texas Rangers. No way, no how. It would have been a disastrous loss. Your feeling about this team going in a Friday night, I think, would have been completely different.
Sure, because it was exactly what I said going off the air last night. Kluber better not go down 2-0. We chasing all night and can't get a clutch hit. And through five, that's exactly what was going on. Couldn't get a clutch hit. Couldn't get a run across.
Yep.
You know, it's a run here, a run there, a run there. Boom, it's 3-0. And we're all sitting there saying to ourselves, these sons of bitches are going to lose this game.
Right, yeah.
They can't sweep a series. They've been lousy at it
all year.
The majority of the season. And here we go again. They're not going to get a clutch hit with guys on base. And then you get a ridiculous bloop double right to left.
That's baseball, Susan.
And that's the way it goes. And then, you know, that, by the way, four runs, which started with two outs and nobody on.
Two outs, nobody on, a blooper to left field. That's how it begins. And by the way, you also said something yesterday. You said, and I'm not arguing with you, it's what you said, and I understand why you said it, that if you were making a blame poll, which we're going to bring in and create, Aroldis Chapman would be at the top of the poll. I know it was a four-run game last night, but Aroldis Chapman looked like April Aroldis
Chapman. Well, he had the legit stare down going again yesterday. He seemed in total command. And
nasty.
If he has figured it out of the blue, that's going to be a big help.
You know what's also a big help?
These final nine games.
Chad Green's looked good the last two times out. You've got Severino back, who could be an X factor. You have Domingo Herman, who could be an X factor. Clay Holmes has been great. We owe Aaron Boone an apology. We mocked, it was mostly you, mocked Aaron Boone for calling Clay Holmes a righty assassin. You know what? Let's just call him an assassin.
But can we leave him to just one inning, please? Yes. Can we not force him to get six outs? Can this, are three outs enough? Meanwhile, something is going on right now that fascinates me, that I want to get your take on. And it's like a multiple guess type of scenario, Evan. There are still people, as we all know, who are not yet vaccinated in the great state, never mind just the city of New York, in the great state of New York. So I happened to come about this yesterday when I got home. New York has launched what they're referring to, and I'm talking about the state, a vaccine sweepstakes. Now, the last thing we did to incentivize people to get vaccinated was offer you $100. That was the last big marketing campaign. Come get vaccinated. We will give you $100 to get vaccinated. A lot of people signed up for that because it's free money. Now they're getting creative. And the last thing, I just saw this yesterday, we have now launched the vaccine sweepstakes with Giants tickets, Jets tickets, and Bills tickets plus merchandise as the prizes. So it's kind of like the old Wheel of Fortune when you kind of go shopping for merch. So my question would be, if someone offered you two tickets to see, forget about the Bills because they're not really our team, two tickets to see a Jet game and or a Giant game, or pick your favorite merch, a hat, a jersey, something along those lines. If you have not yet been vaccinated, would that be enough to get you to get vaccinated?
No.
No?
No. Wait a second. If you've decided not to get vaccinated,
maybe you're waiting for the right offer.
You literally can't go anywhere in New York City. You can't.
Right, like tonight's comedy show. You can't come to the show tonight without proof of vaccination because that's the rule of the five boroughs.
That's right. Last night I was at AEW. You couldn't go in if you weren't vaccinated. If all of that is not getting you vaccinated, I got a newsflash for you. Daniel Jones isn't getting it done.
Zach Wilson, a chance to see the Jets play at MetLife?
Robert Saleh's defense, I love the coach, is not getting it done. Now, you think that's going to seal it?
But here's what's really interesting about it to me. I'm not sure if the state of New Jersey is doing the same.
Right.
But we're offering you things that take place outside the state of New York to incentivize you to be able to do things inside the state of New York.
That's right.
Like, I tell you what, I'm holding, I've been vaccinated, but I'm holding out.
What are you holding out for?
I'm holding out for round trip first class tickets to a Laker game. Like, what are we doing? Right? Like, you're telling people that live in New York that we will give you tickets to an event in another state.
Well,
if you get vaccinated.
Have you noticed, and I've noticed this my entire life, we try to pretend that the Jets and Giants play in New York. We call them that.
Yeah.
Their parades are in New York. Like, everything outside of them playing in New Jersey is all this facade. Like, they're just a New York team. New York, New York, New York. Meanwhile, we all know the geography. You got to go. You can't make a left turn around MetLife Stadium. You got to do a jug handle. You can't pump your own gas outside of MetLife Stadium. Why? Because you're in Jersey.
That's right. That's exactly right. So I'm thinking since, the booster shots are coming up soon, right? At some point later this year, I'm going to get a booster shot. I think I have to.
What do you want for it? Round trip, L.A.?
Well, now I'm thinking, like, I'm holding out.
What are you holding out for besides a trip to Staples Center?
I'm negotiating now. What are you offering? All right, you got two Jets tickets? All right, my son's a big Jet fan. Wants to be a quarterback.
Where are the seats?
Right, where are we sitting? I'm not sitting upper deck.
Or is free food involved? And are there going to be any maggots in the ketchup? I need to make sure.
And by the way, am I still getting the $100? So I just like, of all the things, is there an event out there that you would say yes to get either the booster or if you're not vaccinated, to actually go ahead and get vaccinated? Like, is there an event that you're dying to go to? Like, maybe some people want to go see the Grammys. Or, I don't know, you're dying to go see a Giant or Jet game or a Yankee playoff game or whatever it might be, right? Or maybe you want to go see the Mets in Florida practice this 27-out drill. I don't know. Things that turn people on.
All right. Like,
I'm just wondering, like, $100 wasn't enough. Potentially dying isn't enough. Are Jet tickets really enough?
No.
To make somebody go get vaccinated?
No.
No?
I don't know what we have, if you haven't done it yet, that would put you over the top. Because the Jets and Giants, no offense.
Oh, like, we're trying.
Seriously, bro. The Giants are 0-2. The Jets are 0-2 in rebuilding. Like, that's going to incentivize somebody. I need to be in MetLife Stadium to watch Zach Wilson, hopefully not throw four interceptions.
Well,
that's going to get you to do it?
We're going to get to all that with you today. Aaron Boone's going to join us later today, so very excited about that. I also have an update on the baby blue Red Sox hat. It will be here.
You're still going through with this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
You didn't think about it because that video that's all over the internet of your son Anthony calling up, trying to convince you that, what are you doing? You can't put a Red Sox hat on. You're a Yankee fan now. You're a New Yorker. That didn't change your mind?
Well, I'm going to have options, all right?
My friends, what does that mean? You're going to have options.
So tomorrow on the show, there are going to be two hats here. My friends at Fanatics, who, by the way, I should mention that they've opened a new flagship store in New York City on 33rd and 9th, the new NHL store, if you like a big NHL jersey kind of guy.
Nice.
Definitely go check that out here in Manhattan. They're sending me the Red Sox hat.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends at the Brooklyn Cyclones have found the Cyclone version.
Oh, that's better.
So I'm going to have a choice.
That's good. That's good. And I don't think any Yankee fan would have an issue with you getting in bed with a minor league Met franchise.
Matter of fact, I'm going to have the Cyclone hat tonight at the comedy event.
Are you going to wear it?
If it fits.
You're going to preview it for all of us?
They only had fitted, so I went. I hate to say this. I used to be 7 3/8 all day, but I am now 7 1/2.
Oh, wow.
I have now gone the road of Barry Bonds without the steroids. My head has somehow gotten bigger. And you know, as many people said back in the day, normally when your head gets bigger, it's steroids because there is no exercise equipment on the planet to make your head bigger.
So you have something to admit to all of us?
No,
right now?
I guess I'm just fat.
You think so?
I think it's a weight thing. Maybe it's a glandular problem. But my whole life, 7 3/8, 7 3/8. Then I went to the Flexfoot LXL. Kind of covers you a couple sizes in there, right? And I tried on, like, this Met hat here. This is 7 1/2.
Right.
All right? The 7 1/2 fits me pretty snug.
Yeah, very snug.
Pretty good.
Pretty snug.
Yeah, so I'm a 7 1/2 guy now. Huh. So tomorrow, I will have both on display. I will model both of them. And then you can certainly have a voice.
I want to remind you about something. And you're a big proponent that 2020 wasn't a real baseball season.
Yeah, I don't count it.
I disagree, but for the sake of this, okay, fine. Tomorrow night is the biggest Yankee series they have played since 2019.
Okay?
Yep. If you don't buy 2020 and you say, not real. It's the biggest Yankee series in 2 years. They are playing their blood rivals, the Boston Red Sox.
Right.
You are a Yankee fan. And you are going to model a Red Sox hat. Wow. I just want all that out there so you can digest it.
I didn't think of it that way.
Oh, well, that's why I'm here.
I don't put a lot of thought into things sometimes, Evan. I happen to like the baby blue, the powder blue, so I'm going to rock it. But I'm going to have a backup. I got the Cyclone version. That's not Yankees either, but at least it's New York, right?
Biggest series in 2 years.
Yeah, and I'm going to be rocking Red Sox hats. Yeah. Well, listen, I try to get them to make one with the NY on it, but they won't.
Because it's not real.
Because they're not allowed to, I think.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Because the Yankees aren't going to bastardize their logo or anything to make you happy with a Fugazi color like that.
Meanwhile, the Anthony calling yesterday, like Yahoo Sports picked it up as a story.
Did they really?
Yeah. Like I got a Google alert, and it was Yahoo Sports put out a news story that I'll tell you exactly what, dude, I'm not even kidding.
Is it going to Anthony's head or is he being humble about it?
He doesn't know yet. All he wants to know is how many people watched it.
That's
all he ever wants to know.
His thing.
He wants to know how many people watched it, Daddy. How many people watched it, Daddy? Where is it? Hold on a sec. Here. Craig Carton's son Anthony phones into the show to roast his father. For contemplating the purchase of a Boston Red Sox hat.
That's great.
Like, that's a news story today.
That's great.
Like, it must be a slow day if my son roasting me over a Red Sox hat is like a lead story on Yahoo Sports. Or I'm really just that popular. Probably not the latter.
Combo of two, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
We're going to get all your calls. We're going to try to figure out if anyone's going to go to another Yankee game since the crowd again was brutal yesterday. And we got some news along the way. So hopefully you'll join us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
CeeLo is here. Hello, Christopher. How are you?
I'm wonderful, guys. We are powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. We're going to do a little baseball here since you guys touched on it already quite a bit. Yankees do take care of business against Texas, the three-game sweep. So it sets up a huge nine games to finish out the regular season. We'll get to that in a second. But Aaron Boone has added another nickname to his repertoire, or at least one I had not heard yet personally. Here was Boone following last night's Yankee victory.
I thought Klub actually threw the ball pretty well. And we got soft contacted again.
That, of course, would be Corey Kluber. Now, the reason I bring this up, not just because it's another nickname, but I feel like Boone usually likes to go with the E on the end.
Yes, Judgy, he does.
Gardy, Sanchi, Seve, Higgy, Chappie, list goes on and on. Klubi works, no?
Klubi's better than Klub.
So why do you go with Klub?
I don't think it was an accident. I don't think it was an accident. Huh.
That's just a name. I guess Klubi?
Ev, if we pair that with your awkward exchange with Aaron the day with you and Joe were interviewing him when Craig was not here, I don't know. I just think Aaron might have another side.
Oh, he has a dirty mind?
That perhaps gets overlooked.
What's wrong with Klubi? What am I missing?
No. I'm saying Klubi would normally be what you would go with.
Right. Yeah. So then what are you saying?
Well, he chose Klub.
Klub, like pube? Is that what you're going with?
Or just without the K, lube?
Lube?
Yeah. Oh, lube.
Yeah.
Nah.
That's what I was thinking.
All right. I think you're thinking too much of that.
Allow me to say this. The guy has a nickname, the Klubot.
Yeah.
That's his nickname.
Oh, yeah, because he's like a robot, right?
So the fact that he goes Klub.
Yeah, but Klubot's not a nickname that my main man, Aaron Boone, would use.
What would you call Corey Kluber, then, if you were managing the Yankees?
I mean, I will say Klubot's most on the money as far as his personality.
What would your nickname be for him?
CK, maybe? Yeah.
CK?
Doesn't Corey really Kluber, roll CK, off the tongue, right?
I don't know. Klubi, I guess.
See, I'd go Kluberino. That's what I would go.
Kluberino. You can't have a four-syllable nickname.
Why the heck not?
I think Klubi's probably better. Klubi's better than Klub anyway.
Right.
But that guy, like, listen, I know he threw a no-hitter this year, and all right, you know, he's helped the Yankees here and there. He's not been great, but he's been
all
right.
He hasn't pitched enough. That's the biggest
problem. He's the third-inning man.
That dude, like, the other night, two nights ago, I was making a list of Yankees I'd want to go out with.
Well,
go out with?
Not like day, like have a good time with.
Were you hooking up with them?
No, like Yankees that would be fun to like go to the club with, have dinner with.
Right.
I was making a list.
Was Kluber 26th on that list?
Yeah, how many guys are on the team?
Well, right now it's up to 28.
Yeah.
He was 27th then. Yeah.
But who's dead last?
Garrett Cole. Yeah, because Kluber, I don't know, like, I could see maybe you could have fun with him because he's such a like a robot.
Yeah.
But Garrett Cole is frustrating.
Well, I want to go back to this. Who's number one? Was it Clint Frazier or Luke Voit?
Well, I'm just talking players. I'm not talking anyone but players.
I just said two players.
Well, yeah. Clint Frazier's not on the active roster.
Oh, he doesn't count anymore?
Clint Frazier, I don't even know if he's, where is he? I mean, he's got a real serious head problem.
I hope he's
problems.
Okay wherever he is. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel for him because I don't think they've ever figured that out with the migraines and the headaches and like the, what's it called when you feel like you're falling all the time?
Vertigo.
Yeah, that's no joke. Like, his career might be over.
No, it's scary.
Knock on wood, it's not. But so, no, I didn't include Clint Frazier.
So, was it Luke Voit?
Luke Voigt was right there at the top of the
list. I mean, he looks like a party animal.
Yeah, Luke Voigt seems like the kind of dude we go to some mud wrestling with.
Hold on, I got to think through this. It's not Gary Sanchez. It's not Kyle Higashioka. DJ's boring as hell.
Seems it.
Glaber could be, I mean, he's young, so you could see Glaber having a good time.
Glaber would probably be a good time to go out.
Higashioka's pretty interesting, though. He speaks like six languages.
Who's that?
Higashioka.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, but I'm not looking to learn French.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
He might be an interesting, smart
guy. What kind of plans do you have when you're going out? Now, Craig probably wants to do keg stands.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, if you're talking...
Educated people, how silly of me.
He wants to be
If you're talking about a three-hour car ride, maybe Higgy's the guy because he's probably a fascinating guy to learn from and talk to. Yeah, I'm talking about going out. We're going out tonight. We're hitting dinner, drinks, the club.
You know who's number one?
Late night, we're going again.
He just hit me. Clear number one guy. And it's funny. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious that this is the guy.
Who's the guy?
Giancarlo.
Definitely. Giancarlo Stanton.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not my number
one.
You
don't lift all those weights just to hit home runs.
Nah.
I think he'd probably be fun. Oh. I can also see him being a bit of a wallflower.
Yeah, he seems dry. He's a little dry.
Yeah. My number one guy was Tyler Wade. Number two is Luke Voigt.
Okay.
They were my top two guys to go party with.
You put T. Wade number one.
Yes, I did.
Well, interesting.
Got to be good for something, you know.
No, right. Tyler Wade. Tyler Wade knows what's
joking.
Going on.
I understand.
He's good for stealing third.
Yes,
I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's right. I should say this to be fair on the Klube nickname. If you put Corey with it, it kind of like Corey K. So
I think you should stop talking about this.
All right. Well, I'm fascinated by his nickname choices.
I have no idea what he was trying to say. What's he talking about?
Well, you said CK. Yeah, that doesn't really work.
You know that sometimes you say, somebody, are you willing to die on that hill?
Yeah.
You died on that hill.
Yeah. Fine.
You're dead, bro.
Listen, the Boone nickname's fascinating. He has them for almost everybody, so that's why I bring it to you. All right, so you have him at 5 o'clock. I imagine he will be preaching.
Talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, I'm thinking of the club. I'm sorry.
Okay. He'll be preaching a lot of this as his Yanks head into the final stretch of the regular season.
It's on us. It's right in front of us. We go out and play well, we'll get to where we want to go. We don't, we're going home.
It's that simple.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. That couldn't be more right.
You know what's crazy? So when the Mets and the Yankees began the Subway Series, we looked at this stretch of games. They had 12 games against bad teams. The New York Mets, the Baltimore Orioles, the Cleveland Indians, and the Texas Rangers. And we looked at this and said, all right, you're playing 12 games against garbage teams. You got to beat them up. Off the top of your head, do you know what they did in these 12 games? Top of your head.
Top of my head, I would say out of the 12 games, 7-5?
They were 7-5. Yeah. They didn't exactly have this great stretch.
Not good enough.
But what's funny is you say not good enough. They're tied with Toronto. I mean,
so
they're two behind,
you know,
Boston.
It's not good enough, and it was good enough to let them still control their own destiny.
Yeah, it's like this weird thing where going into the 12-game stretch, we actually talked about it on the air. We said, all right, what do they have to do over these 12 games? None of us would have been okay with 7-5.
No, you know, we said with 22 games to go, they had to be 15-7 to get in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we said. You guys have to go back and check what they are. I guess they could still do that, or better, I suppose.
Well, then it comes down to this. They've got 9 games left with really good teams. The Blue Jays, the Red Sox, obviously Red Sox, then Blue Jays, then Rays. 9 games. What are they going to do in these 9 games?
What's really, you can't get ahead of yourself and get to that Tampa series because God knows if you get swept by the Red Sox, you know, good night anyway. But there's a part of me that's fascinated by how Tampa handles that series.
Well, do you remember, and correct me if I'm wrong on the year, 2011? Because in 2011, the New York Yankees had the East wrapped up, done, won the division. And there were two teams battling for the wild card, the Boston Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays. Game 162, Tropicana Field.
Look how excited he is.
Because this was awesome.
I vaguely remember
that. The Yankees had a 6-0 lead against the Rays. Oh, they're going to get the Red Sox in the playoffs. And the Yankees just, I don't know if it was on purpose, just laid down. And Evan Longoria hit that walk-off home run. The Red Sox lost to the Orioles. And the Yankees, who I guess didn't give a rat's patoot, basically allowed the Rays to dramatically steal the wild card from the Boston Red Sox. I don't know what Tampa Bay's thinking because it also affects them. Like, the Tampa Bay Rays are going to face the winner of the wild card game. They have a say in who they play in the divisional series.
Yep.
So I'm not saying the same stuff's going to happen, but I do remember a decade ago the Yankees not really caring and blowing a huge lead to the Rays, and it allowed Tampa Bay to dramatically win a wild card.
Harry's in Stamford, Connecticut on the Fan. Harry, good afternoon. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. What's good?
I know you said it's not going to happen, but I'm manifesting it into existence. Seinfeld's going to be there tonight. If I say it enough times, it'll happen.
I mean, it certainly could happen. He came last time.
Okay, so I have a simple question for you guys. What's going to be a worse performance, Zach Wilson against the Pats last week or Evan Roberts at Gotham Comedy tonight?
Wow, that's a great question. We'll see you tonight, Harry. Thanks, buddy.
What's your confidence level? You're very high on Zach. You've been kind of...
I love Zach Wilson.
Mom on how I'll do with my 1 minute of stand-up. So where are you right now?
Well, it's not a fair comparison, but I'm fascinated by contemplating it because everyone in the building tonight listens to this show. Because we sold it out without announcing a single comic, and it wasn't promoted anywhere else. So the only way you'd know about the show is if you listened to our show, right? And I say that because that means that the 300 whatever people that are going to be there all know you or who you
are.
Is
that a good thing or a bad
thing? It's a good thing for you.
Is it?
Because they know you're not a stand-up comic.
Right.
They know you're quirky and all that stuff, right? So it's all, no matter what you do, I think they're going to laugh at you.
You think so? See,
not with you, at you.
Well, so does that count as bombing, though?
Well, I mean, like if people are laughing,
but if people are laughing at me, isn't that sort of a win, or is it not? Isn't the goal to get laughs?
Yeah, as long as they laugh, it doesn't matter.
So then it doesn't matter.
To me, it doesn't. Well, now, you'll know in your soul, did I do well or did I bomb? But as long as they laugh, now remember, here's the order. Mm-hmm. Jen Sturge is doing 10 minutes of Brett Favre penis jokes.
Right.
And then I'm introducing you.
Right.
You're going on after that.
Is that good or bad, by the way?
I think the crowd will be good to go. The crowd will be ready to roll for you.
I look
because I think her stuff's going to go over really well.
Let me ask you a question.
And then I introduce you, meaning I'm going to have a couple things to say, too.
Oh, great.
I think expectations are going to be very high for Evan at that point.
Really?
It's a tough spot.
Why would expectations
because
be high?
Because they
just heard
some great content.
Yeah, but see, look.
And they're, you know, the bar is set high.
But I'm not a comedian, nor am I that funny.
I know.
Right?
That's the problem.
So then why that, too?
So then why would the bar be high?
Because
it's going to be a hopeful bar.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm going for the George W. Bush, which is the bar is really low. I exceed expectations. Like, wow, not bad.
Now, let me ask you guys are all going. I'll start with CeeLo. Do you think he does well or not?
I think he'll do fine.
Fine.
I think it'll be a representative performance.
Okay. Tommy, do you think he does well or no?
I think Evan will do well, yes. They want to laugh. They want to laugh.
Yeah, I think he's going to get laughed at, and so it won't be awkward.
Yeah, I agree.
But he'll be bad enough where it's like, look at this guy. But it won't be stunned silence. There'll be enough applause. There'll be enough laughter.
It'll be like, yeah. A loser.
I knew it was going to be this awful.
What is best for the show?
Do your thing.
No. I'm not doing anything different. I'm merely asking, in your brain, because you think this way, it's part of what I really admire about you. You think of what's best for the show.
It's you either have to kill or be horrendous.
Bomb. See, that's the thing. That's why, and I was thinking the exact same thing. We're on the same page. If I'm representable, it's like, great.
We're going to play it on the air tomorrow. Yeah.
You may not be able to.
We're videotaping it. We're going to put it on video as well.
He's giving a little hint there.
If there's curse words, we'll bleep them. Don't worry. We'll dump him, but we're going to let everybody hear it tomorrow.
I think bomb is best.
All right.
What was that?
Bomb is best. Bomb is best for the show.
I agree. I can't hear when you talk to us.
No, I was
going to
say, and we're also sending it to Aaron Boone for him to judge it.
Yeah, Aaron Boone's going to be, Aaron Boone's waiting for it. I told him I will text him with it as soon as you're off stage.
I don't know if this is a good thing or not, but a lot of times I'm nervous about things. I have a very I don't really care attitude, which could be a good thing. Yeah. Like, I got my material, I'm doing my best. Whatever the hell happens, happens.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Carton and Roberts on the Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Quick breaking story in the moment, legit, right now, that has major repercussions to the New York sports landscape. And I want to get into it without people, how do I phrase this? This is not a political statement on whether you should or shouldn't, the story I'm about to tell you. It's just a factual statement, a factual story that has implications for championships here, for sure. Fox Sports is reporting multiple sources that Kyrie Irving has not been vaccinated. Now, why is that a story? It's his choice to get vaccinated. It's a story because of obviously how good he is. But as we said to you yesterday, because of the rules in New York City, if Kyrie is not vaccinated, he cannot practice in the five boroughs, nor can he play, meaning that Kyrie would not be available to play based on today's rules and laws of New York City at Barclays Center.
And the NBA plans to abide by it.
The NBA said they're going to abide by it for three teams. The Knicks, the Nets, and the Golden State Warriors all play in towns or neighborhoods or cities that have these rules in place. So that would mean that if Kyrie decides, which he's allowed to decide as a human being and as an American, that he is not going to get vaccinated, you will not see him in a Net jersey in Barclays Center or in the games that they would play against the Knicks at the Garden, which is less important, of course, to the overall picture of what the Nets hope to accomplish this year. Interestingly enough, Julius Randle is a guy that may or may not be vaccinated, but they seem kind of mum on the issue.
There's a
right?
quote from Julius Randle about it. I'll read it to you. You tell me. Maybe I'm reading into it incorrectly. When asked if Knick players missing games due to vaccination status could be an issue this year,
right,
Julius said, I'm not sure if there's going to be an issue or not. I haven't thought about it. Everybody has their own preference on what they should do or not do or what's safe or not. And I get it. I understand it. I get both sides.
Yeah, I don't. To me, that tells me nothing.
Well, right. It doesn't say anything.
My
gut
is that he probably is vaccinated, but I don't know.
We don't know.
Now, I say this to you because 2 days ago, we didn't reference it on the show because it's kind of immaterial to what we do here. Lou Lamoriello of the Islanders came out and said, we will not allow a single player on our roster not to be vaccinated.
But they also have the success rate in the NHL that's, I think, 95%.
Fair enough.
Right now in the NBA, it is about 85%, which is a very high number, by the way. 85% vaccination, but there are a couple of players who are hardlining. A few names have come out. Like Andrew Wiggins' name came out. We're not going to care about it in New York, but he plays for the Warriors. So kind of the same issue with Kyrie Irving. And what it's going to come down to is two things. Number one, will the player be willing to give up an exorbitant amount of money to miss half the season? But the other question is going to be, will the team try to find, and I've always said this to you, will the team try to find a way to make an excuse, whether it's on religious grounds or a quote-unquote doctor's note on why it's okay?
All right, so the answer is, of course the team is going to try. They'd be foolish not to. Will it be successful is up for some other arbiter of this to decide whether or not, I assume that's the NBA ultimately. Mm-hmm. But it's a big deal because, again, you can't tell someone what to put in their body or not, nor should you.
And the Players Association hardline, Michelle Roberts, who runs the Players Association, she's pro-vaccine, but she's also pro, we're not going to force it on
you
the players.
Can't. By the way, and again, I respect that. That being said, why is it a story? Because Kyrie Irving is one of the best players in the world. And the Nets have legitimate championship aspirations, especially off the injury a year ago, which they didn't win. Kyrie Irving needs to be here for this team to have the very best chance
especially
possible.
Especially during the postseason. Now, yeah. I know it's crazy to start thinking about April, May, and June, but of course that's going to be on your mind. Of course it's going to. And what's weird about this is while we never use Kyrie by name, you knew that was on everyone's mind.
Of course.
Fair or not.
Like, that was the name. It was the name I had as a Net fan.
It's the name everybody thought.
That I wonder about Kyrie.
If it was going to be a guy of the big three, which one's most likely? Right. Most people thought it was probably
And knowing
it.
Kyrie Irving, like we do as just New Yorkers, you think he's budging?
I don't.
I don't either.
I don't.
Like, I don't think he comes across like a guy who's going to say, all right, fine, you got me. So when Sean Marks said the other day, we're confident we'll get all the guys in, what's his confidence from?
Well, here,
that, is it from Kyrie getting vaccinated or from the religious excuse or doctor's note that they'll get for him?
No, I think ultimately what plays in these situations, and I can't speak specifically to Kyrie because he's an outlier, I think, in a lot of ways. I think the relationships with the other guys they respect on their team, meaning KD and Harden specifically, that, listen, Sean Marks isn't going to convince Kyrie to get a shot. Joe Tsai is not going to convince him.
Will $500,000 a game convince him?
I don't know, because he's made so much money already. Money's no longer the thing to hold over his head.
Right.
Because he's got a lot of it.
Right.
Right.
So he can still afford to give up half his salary.
He can never play again, and I assume he's fine financially for the rest of his life. But if Kevin Durant and James Harden sit down with you as friends who he respects, I think, as people, then maybe he gets it done.
So how's this going to play
Especially,
out
then? You know, he also just had a baby.
Right.
Right? So I don't know if that plays into it. It doesn't yet, I suppose, because he hasn't gotten
it. So how's this going to play out?
I think it's going to be a lingering story through preseason.
See, I have a feeling it's going to go away because I think the Nets are going to find a way, right or wrong, you don't have to like it or not, to get him excused.
See, and the NBA,
and I think that's what teams are going
to
do.
The NBA doesn't want that because the NBA doesn't want to have to explain themselves to why this guy got the permission of that guy.
Do they have to?
In the world we live in today,
Craig,
they'll be forced to.
I'll take you into this magical world a month from now. Kyrie Irving's playing opening day. They're opening nights on the road, but opening day on that Sunday against Charlotte. He's in the lineup.
At Barclays.
In Brooklyn. Yeah, he's playing. Whoa, he's playing. Media starts asking questions.
Hey, did you get vaccinated?
A personal decision. Done. How do you further that?
Well, then you go to Sean Marks. What's the deal?
That's his personal decision. We're not going to talk about it, but he's good to go. You never have to answer it. That's why... What it's going to be specifically, but I think he's going to play, and we may never know if it's because he got vaccinated or they got a doctor's note or it's a religious reasoning, exemption.
Yeah. The flip side is this. He's only going to play about 50 games anyway. You just ain't going to see him at home. That's all. But
no Madison Square Garden. Yeah. And no Golden State. So
and the only reason I bring it up, because I know we got other stuff going on and, you know, and on and on and on and on, and Aaron Boone's going to join us in less than an hour, is it's a big story. It's what I alluded to 2 days ago when I said one of the biggest pending scandals that hasn't happened yet in professional sports history is, albeit three teams, but also visiting teams coming in.
And
it's a story the NBA doesn't need or want.
And aren't you... I don't want to say worried. That wouldn't be the right word. Aren't you very intrigued about if it and how it's affecting your team?
Of course.
We have no information. We haven't heard from anybody, so we don't know.
I have this gut feeling that the Knicks are all vaccinated. It's based on nothing.
Well, based on math, one or two guys is not. Because if 85% of the league is vaccinated, and you just look at that as your template, then...
It's answeries, and there is a Knicks that isn't.
Sean Mark said one or two guys. Now, I had a phone conversation with a buddy of mine who's a Net fan, and we were saying, one or two guys could be anybody. It could be two young players. Like, we're all jumping to the conclusion, oh, it's got to be a superstar. It could be anybody in society. So I would lean towards, there's a guy or
you're
two.
Right. I have to assume there is a member of the Knicks roster today that's not vaccinated.
The question we have...
Because the numbers belie that.
Right, but the question you have as a sports fan, because this is what we think about, is, well, who is it? If it's Julius Randle or R.J. Barrett, it's a big freaking deal. If it's a guy you're not even thinking about, you're like, nah, whatever. And so could a guy like that afford it too, by the way?
Well, that's like some guys can. You know that some guys clearly can't. They haven't been around long enough and made the kind of loot yet. That's a fun game to play, though.
What's that?
Right? If you try to play the guessing game, who's not, right? So if I told you that someone at WFAN was not vaccinated, who would most people guess?
Who would most people
guess? I'm talking on-air hosts. Right?
On-air host.
So Boomer, Carton, Gio, Maggie, Carton, Roberts, Moose, Maggie, Steve Summers. That covers it pretty much, right?
Can we include producers like Levy and Al Dukes?
No. On-air people. If they, because it's not, I was thinking, like, we do things, like, if people talked about us the way we talk about them,
right.
How would we like it? We probably wouldn't like it. Now, I've lived that side of it, and I can tell you, I didn't like it. I hated every minute of it.
Sure.
You're all so mean. But that being said, if we're going to play the game about, hey, what, Nick, if you had a guess, okay, what FAN host, if you had a guess, is not vaccinated?
I'll go with Sal Licata.
He's not a host here.
Yeah, he's the overnight guy.
I gave you the people to choose
Wait,
from.
So it doesn't include the guy who's on every freaking day for 4 hours?
Does he work here now?
Yeah, he's on every day.
We fired Steve Summers?
No, Steve's here too. They're both
How
here.
How are they both here?
Yeah, I guess I would go with Steve. Nah, I go with Sal. Maybe Giannotti. Moose. I'm going with Meleusis.
You think Meleusis is the least likely to have been vaccinated?
I mean, if I have to make
a
power...
He can't come to the comedy show tonight. Somebody better call him up and tell him.
But he is coming to the comedy show, so it's not Meleusis.
That's right. Who's not coming to the comedy show?
Who is not coming to the comedy show? Giannotti is not coming to the comedy show. But I heard him talk on the air about getting vaccinated. But was it all a ruse?
Ooh, was it a ruse?
No.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when you put the magnifying glass on yourself, it's not always that pretty.
Is that what this whole exercise was?
Well, we do it like it means nothing, but like Julius Randle's listening to the show right now going, stop talking about me. I've been vaccinated.
Well, if someone comes out and says they're vaccinated, there's no longer speculation.
Yeah.
You know what happens, Craig? And I'm not saying this is fair. I think anytime someone says it's a personal decision,
they're saying they haven't done it.
Yeah. There's this almost cue to us to think, and personally, I don't care. Here's why we now care. Because it affects the teams we're rooting for, like an injury to a player. That's the way you're viewing it.
Sure.
If your best player is not available, we're breaking it down because, well, he has a hamstring issue. Well, now not getting vaccinated leaves you not available for half the games you play.
We do interpret certain answers as yes or no, depending on, I think, what we think anyway. But, right, if I said to a player, I don't care what sport it is, hey, by the way, Billy, you've been vaccinated? I'd rather not discuss that with you. To me, the answer is no.
Okay, so when Julius Randle is asked, do you think lack of vaccinations will affect the Knicks this year? Mm-hmm. And he says, I don't know, haven't thought about it. It's a personal decision. Does that give you any cues?
No, it doesn't, because no one asked him, hey, Julius, are you vaccinated?
It wasn't asked point blank. What about you?
Right. It's like when they asked LeBron last year, he didn't answer it. He gave you the answer you just gave.
Right.
It's a personal decision, and while I discussed a lot of things with you guys, I'm not going to discuss that with you. I took that, I could be dead wrong, as a no.
Mm.
And here's the thing. I understand more now than I did maybe 6 months ago that no matter how you answer that question, someone's going to be pissed with you. For example, if LeBron James came out and said, or I came out, or you came out and said, yes, I've been vaccinated, the anti-vaxxers now hate you, right? What are you talking about, lending credence to that crap? If you come out and go, no, I'm not vaccinated, well, then the pro-vaxxers are like, stay away from my kids and my family. You're going to get us all sick and kill us.
Right.
Right? No matter what. I saw it on Twitter today. Like, when all I did was tell the story to you earlier today that New York State is now incentivizing you getting the vax by offering you Jets tickets, Giants tickets, Bills tickets, and merch from any of those teams, right?
Right.
I didn't say I was down with it. I just told you what's happening. I get 50 hate emails, tweets. I'm never listening again. You're propagandizing the crowd. Dude, I've never told you to get vaccinated. I don't care if you do or not. I'm just telling you a story.
So do you think players don't give an answer for that reason?
I think if I'm Julius Randle,
yeah.
And I'm not saying it's factual, I'm just guessing. Yeah, I don't think a player wants to come out. Certain players, of course. Now, certain guys are much more comfortable financially, platform, career, and all that stuff, where they don't give a damn, of course, like a Charles Barkley type, right? But yeah, Julius Randle might just be saying, I just don't want to give an opinion because no matter which opinion I might give,
I'm going to get hate for it.
I'm going to get criticized
I'm getting
for
crap
for it. And I don't want to be criticized.
Yeah, which
so
weird.
I get that.
Well, he got criticized in the playoffs.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I know. Jokes aside, you know what's weird about the NBA situation? So to go to a Knick or Net game, you need to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
To be an official in the NBA, you need to be vaccinated. That's a rule.
Okay.
Every NBA official needs to be vaccinated. To be in the front office within 15 feet of players on a game day, you need to be vaccinated. Everybody in that building needs to be vaccinated except the players.
Right. who probably put each other more at risk than any other employee if they had it.
Right, and it's because the union is strong enough, and I respect Michelle Roberts because she's come out and said, look, I'm vaccinated, I have no hesitation, but I am representing the players, and we're not going to force them to get vaccinated. So,
again, Fox Sports has that story, and you know, because it's a legitimate source, you know, we went with it today. So you could make up your own opinion, but... Yeah, we're about a week and a half, I guess, away, right, from opening a training camps and whatnot and preseason.
Well, the Nets are training in California, so it's kind of irrelevant for them. But for the New York Knicks, they play a preseason game at Madison Square Garden a week from Monday. Now, you could easily hide it and say, well, we're sitting guys, just the preseason.
Sure, of course.
But you know that based on who's playing that night and who's in that building and who's not, conclusions will be drawn.
Yeah, right. Us not knowing feeds the rumor mill. And the gossip.
Look, that game's on. That game's on TV. I think if you're at Madison Square Garden on October 5th and a Knick player, name them. I'm not going to pick one. Just pick any player. It doesn't play and is not in the building. You're going to say, "Oh wait, we may not have this guy for half the year."
877-337-6666. So that's the latest. That's Kyrie Irving, which I think we all assumed if there was going to be a guy, that was going to be the guy.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Aaron Boone's on the line. Aaron, Craig, and Evan, of course. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing great. You know, the big comedy show tonight. Evan's going to be on stage for a minute. I'm going to send you a video right afterwards so you can give me an immediate response to it, okay?
Absolutely.
The most important, I think, pressing question for the Yankees right now is, it's just a tough question to ask. You make some of these decisions that boggle my mind. Why not Kluby? Why Klub? You always add a Y or an IE to every nickname you got. But with Corey Kluber, you gave him the nickname Klub. Why not Kluby?
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think I call him Kluby. I think I call him Klub.
That's what I'm trying to figure out as to why. Why not Kluby? It makes more sense.
I don't know. He's Klub.
All right. That's all I got for you.
That's all I got.
That's it. Good luck tomorrow. No, all right.
Where is Judgey? Can I call him Judgey?
No,
I can't do it. I apologize, Aaron.
AJ.
You're right. Where is Aaron Judge's health in terms of you feeling comfortable playing him in the field tomorrow night in Boston?
Yeah, I'm hopeful I'll have him in the field tomorrow, but, you know, make that call. Obviously, first day off here in a long time, which is nice and I think much needed, but I would expect him to be in the field tomorrow. You know, that said, we'll make that call when we get to the park and see what we're dealing with.
Was it some kind of lingering issue? Did he aggravate something a couple days ago that we were just unaware of that had you DH him twice in a row?
No, it's just been lingering here this last week a little bit on him. So, you know, obviously we've been in a tough stretch. So just decided it was best, especially with this off day, to have him in the DH role the last 2 days.
Kleber Torres, I mean, the stats are obvious. Since you moved him to second base, I think he's hitting .350. He bounced back last night, didn't have the greatest at-bat with guys on base, then ends up getting the game-winning hit. Do you notice a difference in him? Maybe he's more relaxed since the move to second base?
I definitely feel like he's in a better place this last week. I think he started to get really comfortable at second base where, you know, obviously he's played there a lot over the last, you know, few years. But I felt like even after a couple of mishaps in the field initially when he went to second base, I feel like he's played it really well here this last week. Also coinciding with him swinging the bat well. But I felt, you know, I think the biggest thing with swinging the bat is he's kind of done that all year. He just hasn't hit for the power. And, you know, he's had little valleys, but for the most part, he's been fairly consistent at the plate. It just hasn't been the power there. So I haven't worried about him really hitting. I feel like that's going to come, and I feel like he's so important, you know, kind of hitting sort of in the middle of our lineup because he is such a good hitter, and hopefully he can continue to swing the bat like he is, because I feel like there's just going to be a lot of opportunities to drive in big runs for him.
And obviously a byproduct of this is Gio playing a lot of shortstop, DJ playing third base. How do you feel defensively about the left side of your infield with those changes?
Well, now that DJ's, you know, arms, like, you know, for that long stretch, I didn't play him at third base at all, and I was playing Odor over there for when DJ hurt his arm, you know, about a month and a half ago. But over the last couple of weeks, feel like that's not an issue now, so I feel comfortable with him over at third. He's actually, you know, over the couple years he's played with us, he's grayed out really well at third, you know, very similar to, you know, his play at second base. So I feel good about that. With Gio, look, wherever he goes, I feel good. He's made a couple mistakes over there, but I also feel like that's, you know, that can happen to him every now and then at third base. So, you know, we might not get the greatest range out there, but I do feel confident that he's going to be steady in handling the routine plays.
I saw something that I was, you know, fascinated with last night, and that was, you know, you take the lead, you know, after the bang bang play at the plate, okay, a little breathing room, and then Gary Sanchez hits that bomb to dead center. And it was great for him, obviously, that he hit it, because, you know, he's a guy that needs to have some big plays, just, I think, confidence-wise. But I noticed the dugout, and that spoke volumes to me on a number of levels. One, and please tell me if I'm wrong on this, the guys are aware of the beatdown that this kid has taken. You know, in the press, the fans, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they must love the kid.
I would say yes. I mean, first and foremost, it's a huge game for us, and we're playing for a lot.
But you'd already taken the lead, so it just gave you a bigger cushion for Aroldis coming in the ninth. But you know, the thing. Just so that I'm fair, what I criticized you guys about back in April and May, your team with no soul, with no identity, is the exact opposite of what I saw last night.
Look, I feel like I've said this a lot to people. I don't know if they believe me or not or whatever, but Gary, I have so much respect for him as a person, and how, especially this year, how I just feel like he's just matured so much, and how he deals with outside noise and the constant criticism. You know, early in the year, you know, he lost a lot of playing time, and while he certainly wasn't happy about it, he you know what he did about it was worked. He came in, he made some necessary adjustments that he had to make at the plate. He continued to work his tail off, and has, you know, from last winter on through spring training and on through the year defensively. I feel like he's become a smart worker as far as knowing how to work. You know, it's one thing to just, you know, bang your head against the wall and work. But the reality is, it's a demanding position of 162 games. I feel like he knows how to navigate his day now. And he's just a really great team guy. Like, he cares about his teammates. It's about winning for him. And I think that absolutely rubs off, comes through to the other guys. And I think across the board in that room, they have a lot of respect for the person.
I honestly thought the gun, that throw he made to second to Nail Garcia was even better. I mean, that was such a huge part of the game. And that was always such a positive attribute of Gary's career. Like, early in his career, he would throw out 35% of base runners. That was like old school Gary Sanchez, seeing him unleash a throw like that in such a big spot.
Yeah, it was huge. And look, and I think, you know, over the last couple of weeks where, you know, he's had a few plays, you know, that have been costly defensively, I think it was important for him to get in there and have a huge defensive play like that. And if you're, you know, I think the next couple of hitters, there was a couple of tough blocks with two strikes that were important back there. So really good to see him not only be prepared and ready for the situation, but to come in and impact the game on both sides of the ball was awesome.
Do you think he's unfairly treated by the media and fans, Gary?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. And look, I mean, look, he's made mistakes and, you know, plays that, you know, at different times have cost us or whatever. So it's certainly fair to, you know, point out or talk about, you know, the good and bad that happens over the course of the season, offensively, defensively. I mean, that's part of covering a team. And when you're, you know, on the Yankees and there's a lot of interest, like, that's understandable. You know, I think when people talk about lazy or all, like, that could not be further from who the man is.
Why do you, because like in New York, it seems like when you come here as a free agent or you're traded here, you're going to be treated harder. But the homegrown guy kind of gets a little bit more love. Gary's a homegrown guy. Gary was unbelievable 5 years ago in 2016. Why do you think he's treated unfairly in your mind then?
Well, because I think he's had growing pains as a player, you know, and I think when you come up through the system and you have massive success right out of the gate, you know, you're kind of anointed as this next guy, and people think it's, you know, just going to happen and come easy. And I think when you're talking about the position of catcher, that is on such a different level than really any other position player, with just the things that you have to learn and grow into, and, you know, relationship wise with pitchers and things like that. Like, it's, I think, why you see a lot of catchers sometimes get to the big leagues a little bit later, because there's so many nuanced things that come with learning the position. Now you come up as this big prospect early in your career. You hit all these home runs. You have this massive success. But there's a lot to learn about the art of catching that, you know, you're learning on the biggest stage with the highest of expectations because of your talent and what you've done earlier in your career. So I think it's just part of the evolution of you know, having a very demanding position.
Talking to Aaron Boone, as we always do, day off today. They're on their way to Boston tonight. And, of course, then it's real. It's essentially playoff baseball. You get three against the Red Sox. You get Toronto after that. And then you end it back at the stadium against Tampa. You've used something like 130 different starting lineups, more than any other team in baseball this year. And I wonder, as you sit down with the rest of the coaching staff and the front office for this particular series against Boston, and I'll add Toronto to that as well, do you foresee any type of, hey, this is my lineup for these six games, or should we expect a different lineup every night?
I think it'll be fairly consistent with, you know, I think a lot of that lineup, different lineup, you know, a lot of times it's because one player's out of it or there's one spot. Like, I feel like the essence of our lineup, especially since guys have been healthy and the trade line, has kind of been there. You know, like the seven hole may be different one day, so that makes it a different lineup, you know. You know, depending on, look, who we're facing, right, left, you know, we'll mix and match probably a little bit here and there, but I expect it to be somewhat consistent, you know, depending on do you have Luke Voit DHing one day and the jumbo package, for example, in the outfield with Judge in center field one day, do we do that? But I would expect Guardy to be in there a lot, and we'll just kind of, depending on who we're facing who's pitching for us, we'll line it up how we think.
It's funny. Yeah. I've referred to Brett Gardner as the coach's son, you know, the kid that plays every game on, because his dad's the coach. But he actually came through over the last month. He, you know, found a hot spot. And up before his 0-for-10 streak, the guy was your most consistent hitter. You've been around this for a long time. And when Brian made the decision to bring Gardner back again this year, no one ever thought he's going to be playing significant time, especially in key games like this. Are you amazed by him? Like, when you think of Brett Gardner, and you're going to put him in the lineup every night against the Red Sox and or Toronto, I just wonder your thoughts on him overall, considering his age, the amount of mileage on his body, and what he's been able to do here over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, well, durability's always, you know, been one of his calling cards, and you know, he's obviously in great condition. You know, he's strong as an ox. You know, takes care of himself. He's tough. You know, so, you know, going back to when we brought him back, I wasn't worried about him, you know, from a durability standpoint being available. You know, it's just like depending on, you know, what our outfield situation, was he going to be a true fourth outfielder? You know, inevitably people go down, you earn more opportunities and whatever. But I think, you know, I would quibble with you a little and say just the last few weeks or the last month and say it's pretty much been the second half. I mean, his at-bats have really ticked up here in the second half. I think he's probably, you know, in the high 300s from an on-base standpoint in the second half of the season, and it's just been really good at-bats no matter where we've had him in the order. And then you can't discount what he brings defensively. Like when he's in center field, now you got Judge and Gallo out there, turns into a really good outfield, and that's something that's obviously very important.
I think I can ask this without Craig getting offended, without him thinking I'm going to jinx anything. Gerrit Cole is going to start on Friday.
I knew this was coming.
His next start would be scheduled for Wednesday, and then I assume 3 days rest if you need it, right? Is that a fair assumption that if needed, Gerrit Cole, 3 days rest, game 162, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I hadn't thought about that a little bit. We'll kind of cross that bridge when we get there. It could be on 3 days rest, or it could be, look, we got to. If we're in a position where we have to win that game, we got to win the wild card game too. So you got to win two games anyway. So we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I know Garrett's on board with whatever we want to do, whichever way we want to go.
Right.
Hopefully we're in a position where that last game going into the wild card game doesn't mean anything.
Are you, because look, there's rain in the forecast tomorrow, which screws everything up. All right. It really does, especially in the case of Gerrit Cole. Would you be comfortable pitching him on 3 days rest, even if it's not a game 162, just because, hey, I got to maximize Gerrit Cole. There happened to be a rainout. I think the only time he's ever pitched on 3 days rest was last year during the playoffs, and he was great. He pitched into the sixth inning, only allowed one run. Would you be comfortable doing that prior to 162?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you're talking about, I don't know that you mean pitching possibly back-to-back times to the end of the year?
Yes. So,
you mean if well, like, rain
look,
tomorrow?
Look, it's going to rain tomorrow. I hope they play because I want right. to see. I want to see good baseball. I don't want to see a seven-inning doubleheader. I don't want to see that garbage. And I'd love to see Gerrit Cole pitch as much as possible. It's great baseball.
Yeah.
I know you've thought about it. I mean, obviously, it may not get rained out, but would you be comfortable with him pulling a CC back-to-back 3 days rest so you maximize your best pitcher?
Yeah, I don't know about that back-to-back 3 days rest. We'll just have to – but, again, this it all comes down to, you know, what was the game prior? You know, in a lot of ways, what's the day after like? How does he feel from a recovery standpoint? And we'll try and make the best possible call for first and foremost for us, but also making sure that he's in a good spot to go out there and be, you know, close to his best.
Do you personally have a preference, by the way, if there was a rainout, to using an off day as opposed to a seven-inning doubleheader? Do you have a preference on what you or the team would rather see happen in that situation?
It's a good question. You mean if we got rained out?
Yeah.
I haven't even looked if there's, you know, do we both
Monday.
Have off days on that Monday?
Monday, yes.
Yeah. I think I'd probably prefer the Monday off day.
Interesting.
Know,
okay.
With these games being at this point, but we've been doing this doubleheader thing and the seven inning doubleheader thing now for a couple of seasons, and you know, feel like we're pretty adept at it, and whatever baseball decides, we'll have to make the best of.
Last thing for me, Aaron, I don't want to read too much into it, but the way you won last night's game with the rally after the fifth and the couple big hits, you know, Gary and Glaber and all that stuff, was reminiscent of a lot of the games you won during the 13-game win streak. Was there any aspect of last night's game that made you kind of feel, I think we may have just clicked?
I was really pleased to see how well we played in the second half of that game, especially after it started. I just felt like it was a little sluggish. You know, I felt like Klubs. I felt like he actually threw the ball pretty well and was kind of, you know, a little bit unlucky to give up a few runs there where they, you know, kind of dumping some balls around on him. And it was just kind of that sucking the air out of it because we hadn't gotten anything going yet offensively. And they a bloop here that added to the lead. And then I just thought some really good at bats occurred, and Higgy stung another one after, you know, his first AB, that's probably a 3-run homer the night before, but the way the wind was blowing, it knocked that ball. It even knocked down Gary's ball a little bit. Gary killed that ball to center field and it barely got out. But, so Higgy getting a big double there to kind of injected a little bit of life. Okay. We're back in this now. And then I thought we just did some really good things from a bullpen standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, and from just some winning at bats there. in some key spots.
With the playoffs essentially beginning tomorrow, with this nine-game stretch against Boston, Toronto, and Tampa, do you do anything different pregame? Like, is there an Aaron Boone, I'm going to rile the troops up, I'm going to pump them
up? What he's going to do? He's going to make them watch your stand-up tonight.
That'll work. Do you do anything differently tomorrow?
No. It's tomorrow's kind of business as usual. Look, we've had talks and conversations throughout this over the last couple months, whether it's in a hitter's meeting or, you know, as a group or whatever it is, you know, there's different times. So, you know, I always just kind of, you know, try to not have anything scripted. You know, it's like, we're going to go in tomorrow and prepare. And if things need to be said, so be it. But I don't plan on, you know, getting up and addressing the team, because even though I think it's a good analogy that these are essentially like playoff games now, in a lot of ways, I feel like we've been in that mode for the last couple of months, knowing that we had to kind of dig ourselves out of, and we've had that kind of energy and focus. So we got to – the real fun begins
well, listen,
now.
You got
nine games against good teams.
You got what every player and coach that we've ever talked to has ever asked for. Control your own destiny in the final 2 weeks and let it all play out the way it will. But you got that, and that's all you can ask for, so go make the most of it. And let's see some playoffs in a couple weeks. And we wish you the best of luck. Talk to you next week. I'll send you the video as soon as he's done tonight.
As I get ready, I'll be watching a little bit of stand-up comedy on as I'm going to bed tonight. I will add Evans to the list.
Wow.
A lot
of pressure.
Immediate reaction, please, so I can use it tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
Be good, buddy. Safe travels as well.
All right, thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.